risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is the cornerstone to everything that we believe. The cornerstone is the crucial part of any building. If it's not in the right place and doing the right thing, the rest of the building is in jeopardy. And the thing that separates Christianity, as described in the Bible, from every other religious system on planet Earth globally is the fact that Jesus is God. No other religious system credits him for being that person. We titled the message today, So Close But So Far Away. And we heard that in the story that we read from Luke chapter 24. Men walking with Jesus, interacting with him, conversing with him, about as close as you can get to anybody, and so far away because they were missing the whole point until he opened their mind to understand. I was thinking about that it wasn't only those two men that were walking to Emmaus that morning. The whole group surrounding the resurrection of Jesus were so close, but they were so far away. You think of the ladies that so committed to Jesus, wanted his body to have the best preparation it could, and it was a hurried job on Good Friday to get him off the cross and get him in a tomb, and they knew that his body wasn't prepared the way it should have been, so they got their materials together and they're headed out on Easter morning and first resurrection morning, not knowing that that's what it was just the first day. And they get to the tomb and their biggest concern is, how will we get in? And then the door is open, the rock has moved, and they can get in. And they still miss the whole point of what might be going on. Because as the angel greets them and says, he's not here, he's alive, the focus is, what'd you do with his body? They miss it. And even the disciples, John and Peter, as they run to the tomb, when they get the word from the ladies, and finally John is the one that puts together those grave clothes, and it must have looked like, you know, the wrappings on a body were all there in the shape of a body, but no body was there, and it's impossible to get a body out of those wrappings without disturbing them. And he saw and he believed. He finally caught on, and the message begins to travel. You know, most of the people that were there on resurrection morning either didn't believe at all that Jesus was alive, or as they shared what they did believe and what they thought they saw and heard, people didn't believe them. And so it's not surprising that the two men walking to Emmaus were in the same situation. I was also thinking about how different things are today from that first Easter morning. Not very many people knew what was going on. The close followers of Jesus were huddled away in security, hoping that they wouldn't be hunted down and something done to them like the rulers had done to Jesus. And there's a few people hanging out at the tomb as they hear some of this news. It all seems so quiet. If that happened today, can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, as soon as there was a possibility that Jesus' body was gone, all the news media would be involved, right? They might not believe that he's alive, but they'd be there. And there'd be one of those trucks with those big towers up there at the tomb. And they would be interviewing everybody that came by to try to get their take on the story. And you know there would be another one down near where Governor Pilate was, because they would want an explanation from him of what kind of soldiers he had that went to sleep while they were guarding the tomb. And now they're out telling this story that they actually fell asleep and the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. And within minutes, if it were happening today, globally, we would all know, and you would know it here in Wood Village within minutes after it happened. And so the scene of people being aware of it would be massively different, but I'm inclined to think that the response would be very much the same. I don't believe it. There's something gone wrong here. Very few people would believe that Jesus was actually alive. Amazing, isn't it? How we can have so much information and not really know the truth. And in America today, we're saturated with biblical information, and stories of Jesus are all over the place. But only a small portion of people actually believe that he's the Savior, that he's God in human flesh, that came to this earth to settle the problem of sin forever, to die in our place and rise again to be our living Savior, and offer to us hope, forgiveness, and the beauty of life with Him and forever. I think those disciples on resurrection morning, before they realized that Jesus was really alive, were probably like some of us who get into sports. Not to play it, just to observe it, right? And we have this favorite team, whether it's basketball or football or whatever it might be, soccer. And we follow our team, and they have one of those years where they do everything right. I mean, they're win, win, win. They have the best record in our division. And then it finally gets down to the playoffs, and they win the playoffs. And it comes to that face-to-face meeting with that other part of the country for the championship game or games. There's probably several of them in some of the sports. And everything goes so even. That could go either direction. Everybody is rooting for their own team, but only one will win. And you watch your team. And it comes down to the grand finale, the one that will make the difference. And they're evenly matched, and they're both excellent. But the other team wins, and your team loses. And you watch the celebration as people dump Gatorade on the coach or mess up the locker room with champagne, and the media's all over them. And you watch your team with heads held low and probably in a towel and walk off the court, and you feel as lonely and lost as they do. They're an excellent team. They were so close, but so far away. They didn't win. And then 3 days later, you hear this story, and you find out that the officials and the scorekeepers made a mistake, and your team had won after all. Wow! It's kind of like the disciples. They followed Jesus. They believed in Him. They saw His miracles. They missed most of what He said that was really important, but they were hanging their life on Him. And then He died. And they put Him in a tomb. And it's the first day of the week. And all that was on their mind was preserving their own selves and then dealing with these stories that were running around that maybe He was alive. And you and I read that story and you say, guys, you're kind of clueless, aren't you? But they were so human. They were so close to the truth, but so far away. They had information, these two guys, as they walked to Emmaus. I wasn't there, but I'm guessing that these two men had come to Jerusalem for the Passover weekend. And Passover ended on Saturday night, and so they wouldn't have gone home until the next morning. So they're probably going back to their home in Emmaus, 7 miles. And they're like you would be after your basketball team or football or whatever lost. They were discussing what went on. And they were rehearsing the events of the weekend. And they were trying to figure out what happened. And going through their mind was these stories that Jesus is alive and how does that all fit together? And they're discussing it. The two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked, Jesus joined them. You get the picture? It's a tender scene. Hey, Jesus is alive, and little by little and piece by piece, He's presenting Himself to the people that need to know that He's alive and that will take His story and eventually tell it to the ends of the earth. But these guys are hurting, and they're troubled. And He comes alongside of them, and they're not aware of who He is. They didn't recognize Him. What are you discussing together as you walk along? That would be like me walking up to you when we all know, everybody in the area knows what happened in the game. And you're talking about it. And I say, what are you talking about? And you say, you got to be kidding. You're the only person that doesn't know what's going on. They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them named Cleopas asked, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here during these days? I mean, you're the only one that's clueless? Not a real good thing to say to Jesus. What do you think? And Jesus, teaches us a lesson here. Because if you come to me and ask me a question and I think you might be interested in hearing the gospel, I'm ready to just pick up my Bible and dump it on you, but not Jesus. He says, what things? He's leading them along to eventually connect them with the truth, but he wants them to discover it. He's not going to dump it on them. He's not going to shove it in their face. They said about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. The chief priests and rulers got him crucified. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body, and they came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they're discussing this. And Jesus is listening to his story. It's amazing. And then he said to them, how foolish you are. Now, I don't have any right to call anybody else foolish, but Jesus has the right to call all of us foolish, because we are. How slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? It's like he's saying, don't you guys catch on? Haven't you been listening? Haven't you read your Bibles? Don't you know the stories of everybody from Moses to the present? Don't you know what Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to do? And then one of my most amazing verses for me is verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. I want a copy of that manuscript. Moses, Exodus, all the way to Malachi, and actually, they could connect that with John the Baptist in the Gospels. You know, they had 7 miles, and I don't think they were running. I think it was a casual walk, and I wasn't there. I can't prove it, but I think sometimes he would get so involved, Jesus would, in telling the story, that those two guys just stopped and listened. This is amazing. How does he know all this? What is this all about? There was never a teacher that talked like this. They still had the facts. But they didn't have faith. Amazing. And so, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus indicated that he'd just go on by. Of course. You know what? Jesus may be coming alongside of somebody in this chapel today. He wants to open our heart and our mind to the truth. He's not going to force you. Maybe you've been hearing these stories forever. Maybe you're hearing them for the first time. And Jesus is wanting to reveal himself to you. But if we're not willing to open our heart and believe, he'll just go right on by. He lets us decide. Sometimes I wish he didn't, but he does. And so, they invite him in. Hey, it's late in the day. We want you to stay here. It was a gracious, hospitable thing to do. And so he did. And I can picture the scene. They welcome him into their home and they treat him as their guest. And he's this amazing teacher. They've never heard anything quite like this before. And so they prepare the meal and they sit down to the table. And they're there with him. And Jesus does what he does so well. He picks up the bread and he breaks it. And he gives it to them. And what do they see? Not everybody agrees that they saw the nail-scarred hands, but I believe he did, because when he meets up with him in the room a little bit later, he says, look at my hands and look at my feet and see my ID marks. That's what Jesus does. He breaks the bread. He is the bread. And he gives it to us in bite sizes and lets our faith grow. Amazing. And then he disappeared. You see, he's in his glorified body. He's in that same glorified body that could leave grave clothes looking like they were his wrappings and be alive. He's in that glorified body that can go through walls without opening doors. He can disappear. And what do they say? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. And I have a feeling they made a lot better time getting back to Jerusalem than they made getting to Emmaus earlier in the day. I think they were panting by the time they got there. And they found the 11, and so they had connections with them. And they knew where to go. And they said, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Oh, please don't end Easter Sunday 2018 without eating, partaking of Jesus, the bread of life, in salvation, in forgiveness, in hope, in growth, and in being useful to him. Well, they needed their eyes opened, because up to this point they had information but not involvement, and they had facts but not faith, and they recognized him finally, but they didn't really have a relationship, and they need to connect. And so they're there together, and Jesus does the obvious thing. He shows up. They were talking, and he stepped up. "Peace be with you." The world is crying for peace today, and there's all sorts of things being discussed and planned to bring peace, but the only one who can really bring peace permanently to my heart and your heart and any individual on planet Earth today is Savior Jesus. He's the only one that can really make that statement. They were startled and frightened, and he said, "Why are you troubled and why are you doubting?" And he demonstrated to them who he is. And he invited them to touch him and look at him. And while he's not here physically present with us today, he invites us to touch him, to read the scriptures, get to know him, look at him, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then read it again. And the more you read it, the more you'll come to know him and to love him, and he'll change your life forever. That's what he does. Because he's risen.
He is risen.
You're so awake. Thank you. And obviously, I would like verse 41, actually. "Do you have anything here to eat?" Isn't that so practical? If you're having trouble, Jesus says, believing that I'm who I am, then give me something to eat. I'll show you that I'm for real. And then he said to them, "Well, I was told you, I explained to you." And you remember back in the Gospels when he said to his followers, "I got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be mistreated, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die, and on the third day I'll rise again." He told them that. He told them that in his own words, in his own presence with them. They were so close to the truth, but they were so far away. Until they have finally allowed the Spirit of God to open their eyes and open their mind and open their heart to believe. They did what Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you're saved through faith. It's not something you can come up with on your own. Faith is a gift from God. Apart from any human effort, no matter how good we might be, it's nothing for us to boast about. It's the grace of God." It's an amazing privilege to eat the bread of life by believing Savior Jesus. He opened their minds, verse 45, so they could understand the scriptures. And God, through Jesus, eventually sent the Holy Spirit and founded his church. And everybody who believes in Jesus has the Spirit of God joined up with our spirit, the eternal part of us, that teaches us, that counsels us, that instructs us, that gives us hope and courage and usefulness. And when we die, since his spirit is welded to our spirit, we leave this old body behind and we go into the presence of God forever. And the reason that's possible is because Jesus is God. He's the Savior and he's alive. He is risen. This is what was written. He said, "The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." and you're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. That's the Spirit of God. But stay in the city until you get power from on high. And so, today, if we were to find out that our team that lost suddenly was declared the winner, we would probably be happy about that. But does it really matter? Not in light of the story of Easter and the reality that Jesus is alive and he's the Savior. And it's very possible, and I need to examine my heart, and please examine yours. It's very possible to know a lot about Jesus but not know him personally. There's a lot of people on planet Earth today that know a lot about Jesus, but they've never met him face to face and invited him into their life and believed on him as their Savior. We may know a lot of information from the Bible, but not know him. There's people who have memorized portions of the Bible and can quote them word perfect in whatever translation they prefer. But they've never invited Jesus Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe we can even identify Jesus as God. But if we've not believed that in our heart and said it with our mouth, we're still outside the family and we're lost. We need to invite Jesus to open our mind and our heart to accept him. Romans 10:9 and said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God and say it with your mouth, he'll declare you his child. And because he's alive, we'll be alive forever. And you know, the greatest fear we have on this old planet is death, physical death. And I'm not afraid of death in the sense that I'm afraid to die, because I know where I'll go when I die. I'll be with Jesus. But I confess to you that the process of dying is to me the scariest thing on the planet today. And that becomes a little more scary every day that I live. But death itself, no worries about that. I just hope when my time comes, it happens really, really fast. The world is full of important decisions and questions and challenges. But there's nothing as important as knowing Jesus. Truly God, who became truly man, who took my sin, your sin, all sin, on his body, paid for it with his life. You can pay the price for your own sin. You can die for your own sin. But you won't be resurrected to eternal life. Jesus took our sin, died in our place, satisfied God that our sin was covered, and rose again to be our living Savior. And that is the message of the gospel. And that is the message of Easter. Because Jesus is alive. He is risen. Father in heaven, today it's a great privilege for me to stand here and tell your story. And it is your story. It's not my story. It's not the story of any one of us. It's your story. And it's a true story. And frankly, it's the only story that matters on planet Earth today in terms of forever. I'm so grateful that there were a few people who were willing to discuss and to evaluate and eventually admit that they were so close to the truth, but they were so far away, until they finally let you give them the faith to believe that the story is true, that Jesus is God, that he's the living Savior, and they're waiting for us in heaven to welcome us home with Jesus when our time comes. And I pray today in this chapel that every one of us that knows you as Savior can say, thank you, God. I know you. I trust you. I love you. Thanks for being my Savior. If there's anybody in this chapel today that cannot say that with confidence, would you help them even in this moment in the quietness as we pray and then sing some songs and go our way? Would you help them to pray, dear God, I realize I'm a sinner in need of the Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. I admit my sin. Come into my life. Give me that new life. Join with my spirit and make me your child forever. I believe that you're truly God, and I thank you for being my Savior. And all of us together who know Jesus said, Amen. Thank you.